Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and this week, joining me back in the Monkey House is the host of the Ginny Gin Gin Show, which is all about Ron Weasley's sister. He's our second banana. It's Evan Munro-Smith.
Hello.
Woo, yeah.
You got two claps there.
Yeah.
Two individual claps.
I actually don't get any claps.
Is that what?
Yeah,
so it's clap.
A market increase. Oh, that's beautiful.
Because of the magic of radio, those weren't hands. They were a couple of fish that we just slapped together to make it sound like hands. Yeah.
You can't make hands sound like hands by just using hands.
Mm-hmm.
I think people would know that.
Yep. That's a peak.
In radio, they use fish.
And that other voice you're hearing is returning guest to the Monkey House. It's Peter Thomas. Hey, Pete.
Hey, Matt. I'm back. You couldn't keep me out.
Our resident Marvel expert.
Yeah, apparently.
Self-diagnosed.
Self-diagnosed. But I mean, specifically.
Hope you got an ointment for it. Why not?
I do, and I'm not going to tell you where I put it.
Okay.
Because that's private.
All right. I got you in the first place. Oh, I've just realized we've got the man who drew our logo.
That's right.
And also the man who wrote and recorded the theme song.
Yes.
Oh. I feel like I'm really just making up the numbers here. It's probably the two most important people in
You made the show as well. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I appreciate you bringing me in there.
You're pretty important as far as the show goes.
That's very sweet of you to say, but we all know that's a lie.
I mean, how many episodes have you not been on?
That's a good point. I've been on all of the episodes of this mm-hmm. show. That's funny. That's a weird coincidence, isn't it? but, Pete, it's been a while since you've been here. Some of that reason is because the show didn't exist for a period. And some of the other parts are, you know, other reasons.
Yeah, well, it was pretty hard to come in here and record the show without you or Evan.
Yes.
I tried.
Did you?
Didn't
work. Or this place, this studio also place, didn't exist for.
Yeah, so that made it really hard. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I found that COVID and then and lockdowns and then not having a studio made it just too much of a pain in the ass to make the show. I'd do another podcast that we fought through it the whole way, but sometimes it's good just to stop.
Yeah, but now we're back.
We're back.
Stopping's underrated.
I reckon it is. There's no better feeling than stopping doing something or even better than that, not beginning in the first place. Now, Pete, Evan was once asked what his favorite primate was, and he answered the human, in particular, Andy mm-hmm. from Toy Story. Do you have any suggestions of superior primates that might change Evan's mind or heart or
now,
both?
I've been on the show a few times, and I can't remember if I've said this every time, but one of the times was the golden lion, Tamarin.
Fantastic choice.
Which is a beautiful primate. And I just I think like of it to reiterate. As
the best of both worlds.
Yes.
You know, you've got the lion, mm-hmm. which is one world.
Yep.
And then the other world, which is the monkey.
It's the king of the jungle of the monkeys.
Yes.
And so I'm just going to go with my first answer, gold lime tamarind.
Yep.
He's as stubborn as I am.
Is that, that says that online?
No, Pete's as stubborn as I am.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I'm sure the tamarind is stubborn as well.
We're talking about the lion tamarind. It's as stubborn as I am.
So what? So, but what's lion about it?
The mane, I think.
It's mane.
It does look a bit like a lion.
Yeah, it's orange. It's got, it's got a big mane around its face. Like its face, you can.
It does actually look a lot like a lion. Yeah, it's a beautiful, I'll concede to that.
Beautiful monkey. Slash lion, and we can only assume that once upon a time, a big lion, mm-hmm. probably a little lion,
yep.
boned a big,
big
tamarind.
Sexy, yep, yeah, monkey.
They would have had to have met nearly eye to eye, I guess.
Yes.
Well, I don't know how they would have done.
Well, I mean, it depends how you.
Probably
you
wouldn't know. Have been eye to eye.
It's their own sexual preferences. Yeah. It's up to them.
They probably both, unless they were looking into a mirror, then it might have been eye to eye. But anyway, you know. Nature works in mysterious ways, and this is what we've got.
Do you think they had a mirror on their bedhead?
Yeah.
Or maybe a mirror on the ceiling?
Ceiling? They might have been fully mirrored. They might have been inside some sort of mirrored cube.
Ooh.
Or a fun house. That's not where you want to be boning.
No.
I'm self-conscious enough, said the lion tamarind, not me. I certainly don't think that. So what are you thinking, Evan? Is this, I mean, Pete hasn't even really got a word in since he suggested it.
Well, I mean, can I sway you by saying that
look, you can try.
It's on the $20 Brazilian note.
Oh, is it really?
Yes, the Brazilian real, which is, I understand their currency.
It's a genuine currency.
It's a genuine currency.
Yes, it's real?
It's real.
Okay.
You better believe it. And it's on there just hanging out.
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. Now show me where Andy from Toy Story sits on any currency. Maybe Disneyland.
Yeah. Where's your Andy bucks?
It might be on currency in Disneyland, except I think in Disneyland they use American dollars. who's on Australian currency though?
Yeah. Great point. Patterson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Human.
You know, the list does go on, but.
Queen Elizabeth.
Is she?
The late.
Yeah. Wow.
Human.
That's true.
Despite that.
They're both human.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll be taking her off. And we don't know who she'll be replaced with. It could be a golden lion tamarind.
Could be Andy from Toy Story. I'd say it's
that's true.
Just as good a chance that it'll be Andy from Toy Story.
Are you a Charles the whatever number he is third. Fan? Are you Charles the third fan?
Because
let me remind you, he is a human.
That's right.
If
you had to choose between Charles the third, the monarch and king that rules above all of us, and the golden lion tamarind.
King of the monkey jungle.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's true. They're both royalty. So that makes it even harder for you.
Yes, that's hard. I mean, you know, there's so
many. Are you into monarchies?
There's so many what?
Are you a monarchist?
Monarchies or monkeys?
A monarchist. Monkeyist?
Yeah. Well, I'll answer one at a time. Are you a monarchist? And then are you a monkeyist?
I think the monarchy is pretty silly.
Yeah.
Personally.
Whether ruled by.
It's a bit of fun, but I
Charles or a lion. Golden lion tamarind.
I think it just seems weird to me.
Yeah.
So something you see in movies or you'd read about.
King Ralph, for example.
What's that?
That was a movie about when the whole English royal family died because they got it was a family reunion and the camera cables ran through the water. It was a very rainy day in England and they took the photo and they all died from electrocution. So they had to find the nearest living relative, and it was a guy called Ralph in America, played by John Goodman, and he became the King of England.
As far as I remember, people weren't as saddened by the death of the whole royal family as you would think they would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they moved on.
They're pretty quickly,
and
too.
This guy's fun. He's no stuffed shirt. He's John Goodman. I mean, Ralph.
Was he bowling in Westminster Abbey?
He probably got
a
10-foot pin bowling installed.
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe did he bowl down the crown jewels or something? A physical thing, I assume it is.
I wasn't allowed to watch that one, but I did see the Saturday night preview on Channel 9.
Yeah.
Saying how zany it was.
Yeah, it was very zany. Can you imagine an American as a monarch? That's pretty fun.
It did all right in the box office.
He's a really good man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a fan of his work.
John Goodman.
Mm. And Ralph. Two separate entities.
We are waiting for King Ralph 2.
Yes.
King Ralph II would be the name of the film.
Ah, that'd be great. So, but then I guess it would have to be Ralph and all his progeny.
Yeah.
If that means offspring.
Yes.
And like his cousins or whatever, they'd have to die in a similar wacky accident. And then who do we get? How do you get wackier than John Goodman as King?
Ooh.
Maybe an Australian. Yep. Imagine. Played by Paul Hogan.
That's brilliant. Paul Hogan's great in Fish Becoming Monarchy.
Yeah.
Fish out of monarchies.
Fish into monarchies in this case. All right, Evan, we need a definitive answer here. Golden Lion Tamarin.
No, I'm still with the humans, I'm afraid.
What?
Yep. And yes to the monarchy. That was a big yes to the monarchy, I think.
I don't know how I feel about the monarchy.
Okay.
I think the golden tamarin is, it looks like it's endangered.
So that's no good.
And humans are not.
According to this, it's largely monogamous.
Okay.
Does that sway you?
I think Andy's a virgin.
Yeah. He leaves for college in one of the episodes.
Oh, that's true. I'm filling in the gaps there.
Yeah. Spends a lot of time with it by himself.
Yeah.
With the toys.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm. Well, actually, he doesn't spend a lot of time with the toys because the toys are always having adventures and they can only have them
that's
when he's not there.
Good point.
Yeah, there wouldn't be much of a movie if Andy was around the whole time.
Yeah. So it's, imagine that movie. Just be Andy badly playing with all the toys.
Yeah.
Not quite as much fun as, you know, them playing but running around having adventures by themselves.
I can't help but feel the people who've tuned in to hear about Hitmonkey are starting to throw their iPods against the wall.
Mm, yeah.
And I think that's a mistake.
No, you won't be able to. Well,
that's not on us. That's your iPod, remember.
Yeah.
You're not throwing the three of us against the wall when you're doing that. You're just throwing your own property.
And also they don't make them anymore, do they, Evan?
They only recently discontinued them, but yeah, I still assume that everyone listening is listening on iPods.
Collector's edition.
I was surprised. I've been saying iPods for a long time, assuming they were defunct, but they were making them until like earlier this year, I think.
Really?
Which blew my mind. I've had a few people message me going, you know, no one really uses iPods anymore. Like, oh, there you go. Thanks for keeping me updated. I'm a bit out of the loop in the tech-heavy world.
Did you ever have an iPod?
Never had an iPod. I borrowed one once.
I never had one.
I borrowed one once for a trip.
I had one in year 12.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Did you listen to podcasts on it?
No. I don't think I ever listened to podcasts on it. I think I might have downloaded one for fun.
Just it's wild.
Which one of the three podcasts that were available did you listen to?
Probably
Ricky Gervais as well?
Yep. Or just some recording of ABC Radio National or something like that.
They were Radio National or an early adopter, were they?
Maybe. I can't remember.
It's wild that podcasts are named after iPods, but Apple's somehow not. They've just sort of let it all go.
Mm.
And they've just sort of ceded to Spotify and, I don't know, Audible and Google and stuff.
They're still involved in it. You know, I think their chart is still the one that's seen as the most important chart.
But no one's
if anyone thinks that podcast charts are important.
But no one's listening to podcasts on iTunes or even the podcast. Oh, they probably are listening to it.
I think
the Apple podcast app
is still one of the biggest, I believe.
Yeah.
Spotify's up there, but I think Apple's still right up there. I mean, I don't know what to base that on.
All right.
A gut feel.
If you feel in your gut that you're listening on an iPad pod right now, iPod pad.
Mm. Are iPads and iPods related or is that a coincidence? Because they're very similar sounding.
I don't know why they didn't keep using more letters.
Yeah.
E, I.
iPad.
O.
iPad. iPod. iPod.
OPod.
Oh, yeah. Well, now if you're going to start changing that I out, you've got heaps of options.
Yeah. I mean, just start off with the vowels.
Yeah.
APod.
Mm.
Do you count Y as a vowel?
UPod.
Why?
Well, it's just a question to keep the conversation going.
No.
Because you can.
They did have Emacs. That was the thing.
Yes.
Really?
That's why I said IRE.
Emacs?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't recall
them.
That's
before all their eye stuff.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay. Are they the ones that look sort of like fluorescent blue and yellow and stuff?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Back
when Steve Jobs came back to Apple.
I did an assignment on the company around that time.
Yeah.
And got a good mark.
Pretty wild history there, but probably not relevant to Hitmonkey.
It was a wild story. Well, one day, if we can work a monkey in there somewhere, we could tell the story.
He probably had one as a pet or something.
Maybe. That's enough for me. That'll do. So, yes, Pete, you were on episode 9, we talked about the Marvel comic book Hitmonkey. We thought it was such a funny, obscure comic book. You're a comic book guy and you thought it was relatively obscure.
Yeah, as far as I remember, he was sort of like a background character. Like there was a whole bunch of assassins in an issue of Deadpool. And it was like, oh, this one, it's funny because it's a monkey wearing a suit with some guns. And that was the end of it. But little did we know, someone decided it would be a good idea to write a backstory for that character. And, you know, and here we are.
Yeah, that's right.
The 60 years later, celebrating.
Because it's...
Is that how it happened? Like they started with a monkey in a suit and worked backwards from there?
I think so.
Right.
Because I mean, that's probably something that we should have researched before the show. But
it's funny because we did research it for the show for episode number 9.
Oh, right.
But
I should have listened to that episode.
We really should have listened to ourselves. I'll never do it, though. And you can't make me. But I think that rings a bell that he was a background character in Deadpool. Then he got his own issue.
Yep.
Right. And which is what we talked about on episode 9. But now that's been picked up for an animated series starring bloody David Sudeikis or whatever.
Yeah, Ted Lasso himself.
What's his actual name?
Jason Sudeikis.
Jason Sudeikis.
Jeez, that's who it was.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk recently online about not getting celebrities to do voice acting for animation. Like people, I think mainly because of Mario.
Right.
One of the Chris's.
Like they should get proper voice actors instead. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And I quite like Jason Sudeikis or whatever. Yeah. But I think he does feel like I was sort of frustrated. Let's get into what the show's about first.
Yeah. And we'll figure out who Jason Sudeikis is voicing in this, because we'll leave that as a bit of
season. Yeah.
Ooh. Is it the monkey?
Is it the monkey? That's what I assumed going in. Yeah. Was I correct in assuming that?
Only you will know. Oh, no, someone else will know.
It also stars George Takei.
Yes.
Who's great.
Oh, it was.
And Olivia Munn as well.
Yes, and I knew, I don't know where I know that name from, but I know she's from other things as well.
She's an actress.
Yes.
She's in things.
Not a voice actress normally.
No.
Not necessarily.
I know her from her face.
So this series has been suggested by listeners including Amit R, Smitus, Matthew Harris, Kevin Raitt, Where's My Library Card, and Alfie Hanks. And we appreciate that very much. When the preview came out, there was a lot of hype in the primates world.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Ha!
I was trying to think about how to talk about it because 10 episodes is a lot.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe we'll just go. I found just the Wikipedia page, so it's little breakdowns of each episode. So we can just work our way through those.
They're pretty short episodes, 20, like under 30 minutes.
Yeah.
TV half hour.
I'd say if you haven't watched it yet, and you have any chance, if you're thinking you might, I'd pause it now and go watch it. It was...
Pause your iPod.
It was a lot of fun. Pause your iPod.
Can you pause iPods?
Boot up your eMac if you got Wi-Fi capabilities. You probably have to... That's probably dial up back then, but...
They just play the same podcast on a loop. So you can stop listening and then you just have to wait for the whole podcast.
Oh, wait for it to come around again.
All the way around again.
I see.
Hey, Ev, do you want to read this out or do you want me to read it out?
I'm happy to read it out if
you're a good reader.
We could take turns.
All right. What do you want to do, Ep 1? Because episode 1 is basically the comic book that we talked about on episode 9.
Are we just going through the Wikipedia synopses?
Yeah. Well, I feel that's just a bouncing off point.
So this is episode
1. I watched it in 3 sittings. I loved it. I would have watched it all in one sitting, but it was like 2 or 3 a.m. I got to get up soon. So I had to put a pin in it, but I was in. I was loving it.
So episode 1, entitled Pilot. It's the first episode, and I guess it's some sort of a pilot episode.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because it's about a plane?
Yes.
I'm trying to think if there are any planes in it.
Or, yeah, there is.
Is there?
Yeah, because he arrives on a plane and he tries to leave on a plane.
Okay.
So I assume that's where they got the plane from.
So... Bryce Fowler, an upbeat assassin, which, you know, that's he's a pretty affable kind of guy.
Yeah. Who would you say is voiced by?
Look, in my opinion, I think he's voiced by Ted Lasso.
Right. Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, the Jason Sudeikis character.
So he's pretty
Ted Lasso.
He's pretty quippy.
Yeah, he's just yeah. he's He's Jason Sudeikis.
I think he's a real Ryan Reynolds.
He looks like Ryan. The cartoon, yeah. I reckon they wanted Ryan Reynolds.
But then is that too, if his origins are from Deadpool, is that a bit too much like, oh, he's just Deadpool, but he's a ghost now?
That's true too.
Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. He's not a ghost yet.
It's in the name, Dead.
Oh my God.
Ooh, what is the name Deadpool? Let's not get into that.
Because I think they had there was a gambling thing, seeing how long he'd live for or something. Oh. That was the Deadpool.
Okay. Bryce Fowler, an upbeat assassin, is hired by a third party, I don't know who, to kill a progressive politician named Ken Takahara in Japan. He succeeds, kills the guy in pretty schnazzy style, some sort of like automatic remote-controlled sniper rifles.
Yes. Yeah, he just pushed a button. Because he partied the night before as well.
Yeah.
So there's a big montage of him just hitting the town.
Feels like anyone could have. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's in the setup, Evan. What were they on? They were on tripods, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is very much like Evan, someone goes, oh, Evan's just using these great cameras. They're beautiful looking, expensive cameras. I could do that.
Yep.
That's basically what you're saying there, Evan.
No, fair enough. I'm sure he's set them all up. He programmed them all. He's picked out the correct caliber of bullet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he aims them all. So he has like seven different guns, and some of them shoot out the plexiglass shields, and then the other ones out the guards, so, and then one of them shoots out.
This politician who's running for office, so this is a prime ministerial election in Japan. The candidate is standing behind what looks like bulletproof glass. So there must be like pretty full on bullets to crack through that. And then another one, shoots through once those are destroyed to, assassinate the, candidate. And it also ends up killing the partner of, a police officer. This is poorly written.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. The main cop's partner. Okay. Sorry. Does.
Yes. It's all coming back to me. Because
the grizzly old cop who's seen everything.
Am I making up that he jumped in front of and took the bullet No.
He runs after. They figure out that, the gunshots came from the
13th
floor. So he runs up the stairs
and he finds the body.
Partners tell him to slow. His partner tells him to slow down, but the young cop dies.
Yeah. He's like, we could be the first on the scene. He was very excited to crack the case.
He should have fallen over like his partner did.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what experience gets you.
Yep.
So the cop dies. As he begins to feel remorse for his actions, Bryce is betrayed by his employer, the person who hired him to assassinate this politician, and is attacked by his goons. Although severely wounded, Bryce manages to escape, fleeing to the Snowy Mountains. A tribe of intelligent snow monkeys rescues Bryce and begin nursing him back to health. Bryce takes an interest in a particularly aggressive monkey who distrusts him and witnesses his training.
This all happened in the comics.
Yeah, this was part of Hitman. Hitmonkey. Oh, not Hitman.
No, Bryce is Hitman.
Hitmonkey Zero, which was what we reviewed on the show.
Yeah.
A little flashback.
Yeah. I love that. And... yeah, you weren't as big of a fan.
I think...
But, I mean, that was basically the first comic I'd ever read, so maybe...
I think that comic somehow got the tone a little bit wrong in terms of how to treat a very silly concept.
Took
it very seriously and not enough fun.
Oh, right. I quite liked how seriously it took it. That's the fun bit.
Yeah. Right. In the comic books, I don't think the Bryce character... was quite as Ryan Reynolds-y.
No.
He was a little bit less Ryan Reynolds. What's less Ryan Reynolds than...
It was more like a, you know, stiff upper lip kind of... picture, what's that 90s Bond guy? Picture him playing him.
Pierce Brosnan?
Pierce Brosnan.
Right. He was a bit more Pierce Brosnan-y.
Yeah, yep. maybe a bit of fun, but he's doing it. He's not...
Maybe a bit more Jason Statham-y, I thought.
Oh, Statham-y, yeah.
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah, that's probably more like it, actually.
So this aggressive monkey is banished from the tribe for harming another monkey. But as he leaves, witnessing the assassins coming, this feels like it's not doesn't make much sense.
Because the reason he's really trying to protect his other monkeys. He's going, this guy's bad news.
Yeah,
and they're all going, nah, he's all right. He's all right. He's just some guy.
Yeah,
yeah. And so up to before this, we don't know what the monkeys are saying. But then we start to get monkey captions.
Yeah, I love that.
So when the monkeys talk to each other, we can hear what they're saying. And my favorite part of the episode is where the alpha male tells Hit Monkey to leave, not through monkey captions, but by just pointing off camera.
You're it's pretty out. Great. Get out.
Get out. But he doesn't say that in monkey or English.
He's got a bit of a...
or Japanese, which is where this is
that's true. In Japan. Mm. He's got a bit of a lion look about him as well, the alpha monkey, the elder.
Yep. Big
mane.
Bushy mane.
Yeah.
Bit like a Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Like imagine if Santa Claus was a lion and a monkey.
So if he was in that House of Mirrors.
With
if Santa Claus, a little menage a trois, and somehow that you could have like tri-sex babies. And I think if you can't, I think you should be able to.
If anyone can do it, Santa Claus can.
Yeah, exactly. He'd just twinkle his nose and something else and, make the magic happen.
Evan? So because Bryce, the upbeat assassin, is still alive, the kind of mercenaries that were after him in the first place, the people that hired him, they want to finish the job, so they track him up to the mountains.
How do they track him?
I have absolutely no idea.
They just rock up. It feels so remote.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so many places he can go. He's on foot.
That's true.
They've been checking all of the hot water monkey pools around the place.
He'll be in one of these dead pools.
Yeah.
Oh, because he's going to be dead.
So the mercenaries, they come across this tribe of monkeys and they just sort of let loose on the monkeys, killing them all. And then this aggressive monkey.
It's brutal. They're gleeful in just mowing down the monkeys.
Yeah.
Very cruel.
Because the monkeys throw a few snowballs at them and they're like, not like, oh, that's cute, we'll leave them. It's like, that's cute, we'll kill them.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think the mercenaries aren't good people.
I was thinking the same. That was the point where I'm like, hang on. Are we cool with these guys and how they're behaving?
Put a content warning because there is monkey violence.
There is, yeah.
Monkey on monkey and human monkey on man. Monkey and then man on monkey violence.
Do I say man on, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because they shoot all the monkeys.
That's right, they do.
Yeah, and various people try and harm our titular hero during the course of the series.
Mm.
Most of the people.
Nearly everyone.
Nearly everyone.
And I say it's not on.
No.
So our Hit Monkey picks up some of their guns and he takes out all the mercenaries.
To lunch?
No, to hell.
To hell, takes them to hell. Right.
He murders them all.
Okay.
Violently. So he doesn't
paint a word picture for us, Evan.
it's pretty great. I mean, I hadn't seen this show prior to watching it. And
that's true for a lot of people. So, not everyone, but.
But I mean, I didn't really know what to expect, right? Like, I thought, oh, Hit Monkey, it looked like it could have been like a kid's cartoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's got a heck of an opening. And it really sets it up for being, it's quite a gruesome, violent.
It is, but I'd love to talk quickly about the animation style. Maybe,
sure.
Which I really enjoyed. It's quite simple. Can you two put it into any better words than that?
Well, it's definitely...
How you've taken this one, even though you're sitting next to a professional illustrator.
No, well, maybe I should... No. It's definitely anime inspired.
Absolutely. I think it's a nice sort of midpoint between, American style animation.
Yeah.
Manga. Anime. And so it is, it's pretty fun. I mean, parts of it seem a bit like an Archer style. They kind of move a little bit.
It's made by the same studio as Archer. Right.
I think Bryce has got a bit of he could be an Archer character.
Yeah.
But some of the characters seem almost underdrawn. And I guess that was part budget or part just artistic choice.
Which characters? I think the snowmen that get kicked over.
Basically featureless.
Yeah, that's just white shapes, really.
I was thinking like the niece of the politician.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe she just seemed like uber 2D.
Yeah, I think maybe that's deliberate to make her seem different from the other characters.
Right.
Or more sympathetic, perhaps.
Oh, yep, okay. That's interesting. But, yeah.
Or it's a mistake and they should.
And they're only hearing about it now.
Oops.
Yeah. Whoops. We've forgotten some of her features.
There's this firefight with the mercenaries. I think in amongst all this, Ted Lasso gets shot Mm-hmm. And it seems like maybe he's
dead lasso.
Maybe he's dead lasso. But then there's sort of this fake out where, no, he's all right, he's okay. But then he does die. And Hit Monkey's born.
He has doesn't have parting words to Hit Monkey, who's basically known as Monkey to Bryce.
Yeah, I don't think they call him Hit Monkey. I think they just call him Monkey throughout the series. Monkey,
which is interesting.
And they don't call him Ted Lasso, they call him Bryce.
Yeah, that's confusing as well.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are you talking to Ted Lasso?
He sounds like Ted Lasso.
It wasn't until deep into the season they gave him that Bryce backstory, you know, that flashback. You're like, oh, Ted Lasso used to be Bryce.
With his dying words, just back to the episode description, Bryce declares that the monkey must pursue the assassin's employer. That's talking about Bryce, right?
Yeah. So
okay, that's poorly worded.
Bryce and the monkey have a special bond.
Yes.
Bound by their shared aggression problems. And also, these men killed them, or they've, you know, they both want revenge.
Yes.
United by revenge.
Monkey's whole crew was mown down.
Yep.
And Bryce's whole himself was also mown down.
Yeah. They have a common enemy.
Yes.
Themselves.
Whoever they are. Yes, themselves and everyone else.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A common enemy that they don't know who it is. Like, they have a mystery.
An uncommon enemy.
Right.
And as he died, did we see him as a ghost? Because I'm like, oh, that was just like a guest, like a big name special guest for the first episode. I thought he was dead, and I don't in the comic books, was there a ghost? I don't remember the ghost.
Yes, but I don't
think didn't go that far.
No, I read ahead a little bit and read the story after that, which follows, as far as I can remember, quite a lot into the show. It involves some Daredevil villains and an assassination, another assassination plot, and you know, all that kind of intrigue.
Yeah.
He does pop up, but I don't think he's there quite as much.
Right. Probably because he's not voiced by a big name actor.
No, like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Or the guy who replaced him, Jason Sudeikis.
It seemed for a while that like a wisecracking Ryan Reynolds type was in every movie.
Yeah.
But I can't think of any of them. They've just all become Ryan Reynolds in my mind.
Yeah. Who were some of those other wisecrackers?
So like Jim Carrey sometimes played this sort of smarmy character.
Like a lot of Marvel superheroes have that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, Iron Man.
Robert Downey Jr. is definitely that kind of quippy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking more like Chandler Bing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like this sort of
funny friend.
Yeah, this sarcastic kind of character.
Wisecracker.
Wisecracker.
Sort of like you and our friendship group.
That's right. I'm the Jason Sudeikis, or am I the Chandler Bing?
Could you be any more Jason Sudeikis? Yes.
And so I kind of like it in this that it's not that he's the coolest guy in the world. He's actually quite sad, Bryce, as a character, because he doesn't really have any friends or proper connection with people because he kills people for a living. And so it's not like everyone thinks he's great.
No.
In fact, people quite often think that he's a loser.
Yeah, and we don't really, he seems like a solitary guy.
Yeah.
The only night we know him as a human, a living human, he's just sort of out partying, looking for fun in nightclub sort of stuff.
All the wrong places.
All the wrong places. Well, they look like pretty good places.
No, you're probably right.
I'm watching it going, are we setting this up for him to butcher the job tomorrow? I'm like, no way I'm sleeping through my alarm if I'm having that kind of a night, let alone getting up and shooting with precision.
Yeah, he's an interesting one, right? Because he seems to be very good at his job despite not really caring and not really putting much effort in.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Wouldn't it be great if we could all be like that?
Yeah.
I think it's more of an affectation, you know, he's trying to seem ironic and cool.
Right.
Where he obviously does really care a lot about killing people.
Yeah. That's his passion.
Yeah.
We do see ghost Jason Sudeikis.
We do.
Bryce.
That's so funny. I just fully missed it.
It's just right at the end of episode one. Right.
Lasso.
Dead Lasso. I think Hit Monkey goes off to find some revenge and Bryce pops up.
Yeah. Hit Monkey goes to the train station to take a train to Tokyo.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that Hitmonkey seems to intuit about human society.
He does, yeah. When he needs to, he'll just go and do it. And he's also, for the most part, not really noticed.
Not really.
Or people will sort of see him and be like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Monkey, huh?
I don't think there are a lot of monkeys wandering around in Tokyo.
No. As far as even in little suits?
Even in little suits. Which he doesn't have yet.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But we, he's just a monkey at this stage.
That's right. He gets it when he goes to a...
But he's not just a monkey, guys, because...
Oh, he didn't get the suit, but he did get
the goggles. Yes, he got the glasses. It was the
Did you go out, Pete, and specially buy Hitmonkey-style sunnies?
I did specially buy Hitmonkey sunnies, and that sound, listeners, was the sound of me putting on...
That's the unmistakable sound.
Yeah. But I made it using some fish that I slapped together.
A different species of fish, if you're wondering.
Yeah, that was
glasses fish aren't the same as hand fish.
No, marlin and sturgeon, the two fish that I used.
Mm-hmm. A couple of big fish.
Will there be some more later on? Who can tell?
Are sturgeon big?
These ones aren't.
They're baby sturgeons. Yep. Pete only kills and eats and slaps baby fish.
That's right.
So that's the origin story. We should probably like breeze through sort of the plot of the next bits. But so in episode two, he arrives in Tokyo and he's linked with Bryce. They can't separate from each other. If Bryce goes too far, then he sort of starts to fade away, glitch away or whatever, back to...
He doesn't fade away. It's almost like he's on a leash.
Yes.
He's on a shortish leash and it feels like he can't get more than maybe 10, 15 meters away. Otherwise, he's just dragged along. So there's times when if Monkey's in a fight and all of a sudden he's on a car driving away, then Dead Lasso is being towed behind him sort of.
Yeah. And Bryce is kind of calling the shots. He's trying to work out what happened. Takes him to a fish warehouse where he actually got the mission to kill the politician, Takahara.
And if you listen closely during the fish warehouse sequence, you can hear some fish being slapped together.
Yes.
And that's obviously made using human hands.
Yeah. It's all reversed.
And they find this old woman who we did see in the first episode who gave the job to Bryce, and anyway she meets a pretty grisly end.
Did you notice in the first episode she had quite a bad cough? I'm like, oh, this is Pavlov's cough for sure. She's dying.
Right.
They never have a character coughing up like this if they're not about to find out they got cancer. But she just had a cough.
Pavlov's cough is where she coughs. She coughs and then a dog salivates. Is that what happens?
Yeah. Right, got it.
I get confused between Pavlov, Chekhov, and the one with the box where the cat's dead or not dead. But I meant Chekhov. Chekhov's cough, not Pavlov's cough.
Okay.
Who's the box one?
Schrodinger.
Schrodinger, Pavlov, Chekhov. I get them all confused.
And Schroeder from Peanuts.
Yes,
but it's a Schroeder. Like a red herring, right?
Another type of fish.
Yes, because she's actually quite agile and you know good at fighting. Although she ends up just dying accidentally.
Almost as agile as a what kind of monkey is Hitmonkey again?
A Japanese macaque or macaque, depending on where you're from. Calling it macaque. Is sort of most of the world, and then macaque is really just in this studio. But it still depends on where you are.
Really just that side of the studio too.
So the politician who was assassinated, his running mate, running mate, I get, not running mate.
It was almost the advisor sort of thing.
It ends up sort of taking over the campaign.
He has to be convinced to, though.
Yeah, his niece convinces him to run.
And sort of saying, hey, we can't just... Because it's like it seems like it's like quite a progressive candidate versus quite a conservative candidate.
Yeah.
It's like a real black and white choice they're making it out to be.
And the other candidate is like, well, I guess I win by default now. and so they're like, no, maybe you should run and we could still win this.
It's a funny idea that just, you know, a month out from a campaign, someone who wasn't running at all is like, I've decided I'll be the candidate now.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unusual circumstance, at least in our side of the world, for a political candidate to be assassinated. But it, you know, it makes...
Ours normally just go swimming and never come back.
Yeah. But, I mean, it makes some sense. It's like, oh, you know, you've got some sympathy now, right?
It could translate to votes.
It could. Anyway, I mean, that's the crux of episode two.
I just want to note, so there's a funeral for the slain politician.
Yes, Takahara.
And it's a very odd funeral because it includes a bunch of street toughs killing pigeons in the car park.
Yeah.
And then they have a fight with the Yakuza, who's also there.
Yeah, I was wondering why all those thugs were there.
Yeah, me too.
It wasn't immediately obvious it was a funeral, really.
No, not really. I mean, there was a big speech.
Yes, and that was the thing that really made them all decide, people love him. He could be, it felt a bit gross actually that he basically was starting his campaign at the funeral.
Well, the conservative candidate said as much. He's like, oh, you know, you're a bit of a scumbag for using a funeral as a place to launch your candidacy.
I think we'll find that the remaining candidate is a bit of a scumbag himself.
Yeah, a bit of a pot calling the kettle black scenario, I think, there. But this is also...
mostly scumbags, I think, this show.
Yeah, a lot of scumbags, a lot of lovable scumbags. and you also, I guess, you really just skipped over the bit where a suit was found.
Oh, I was getting there. But yes, so the episode two is where the titular Hitmonkey, he steals a suit and puts it on, and that's... Does he do that to get in? Is that...
No, there was a boy. For some reason, he's in this room and there's a boy there.
Bryce tells him to put on a suit because his bottom is showing. Because he's been attacked by the old lady who was sawn in half. But before she did so, she somehow managed to scrape all the fur off his bum.
Yeah. Yeah, if it looked like almost like he'd been, they're sort of like scratch marks.
Yeah.
Maybe sword marks.
Yeah, so but probably better to put a bandage on it rather than a...
She was going to kill him on that circular saw. It was a real James Bond villain kind of thing. He was slowly tracking towards it. And Bryce, that was the first moment I realized that Monkey could understand Bryce, because Bryce is going, unclip that thing from just there. And then he unclips it and he's out.
Like I said, there's another moment in the show where Monkey opens a door. I mean, that part blew my mind. I don't think that... Monkey's life living in the pools in the snowy mountains really prepared them for understanding how doors work.
Doors, yeah.
He picked up automatic rifles pretty quickly.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty amazing. It displays a lot of...
Monkeys famously don't have, you know, what our primate brothers have in muscle and strength, they lack in dexterity. But luckily, he seems to have a bit of both. Very special monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a hit.
alongside this happening as well is the police officer whose partner was killed in the first episode in the assassination. He's kind of trying to work out what he's trying to get to the bottom of all this as well.
Doing investigations. Is the B story.
With Olivia Munn, I think.
She's the niece? No.
No, the police officer who's trying to get to the bottom of it. Yeah, the cop.
Old cop gets a new partner.
Yes, new partner, and she's
like... From the country. She does things by the book sort of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah.
She's quoting pages.
Yeah.
I don't know if she actually does, but it's sort of... I think you'll find Chapter 3, Section C says, we really should do this by the book. It says it right there in the book.
And they see at the end of this episode, see some security footage of Hitmonkey doing his thing. And they're like, ooh.
And
maybe,
you mean,
maybe
can
this
you,
is...
Can be more specific?
Shooting people.
Okay.
Yeah, got it.
He's got a few things.
And they think...
opening doors.
Wearing a suit.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, let's see all of that.
Putting up with Sudoku's quips.
And they think this murderous monkey seems to maybe has something to do with the politician getting offed.
Hey, I just had a quick thought. Should we make this a two-parter?
Maybe
we could
do
the first five episodes here and then next week do the next five or something.
We could. We definitely could.
I mean, it's the kind of content that does demand an extended in-depth look over two episodes.
Sure. There's a fair bit of it. Episode three.
Whoa.
Now this,
I love this title.
Yeah.
The Legend of the Drunken Monkey. While arguing about having to kill, Hitmonkey and Bryce encounter Stick, a blind monk who can communicate with them, declaring that they are bound and must work together.
Yeah, Stick just knows everything. Stick's sick.
I
big fan of Stick's work. I didn't know his name was Stick.
No, I didn't know that either. I forgot this happened, to be honest. I think Hitmonkey is struggling with the idea of killing people. He seems to have some morals. Is that kind of what the difficulty is?
I mean, the whole reason he didn't like Bryce and was trying to tell everyone about Bryce is like, this guy's bad. He's a killer. Yeah. We don't want him around here. He wasn't a killer. This isn't in his nature. So he's like, I don't want to be a killer. And that's why he makes his own rule.
He's got a lot of rage. So there's a lot of conflicted feelings.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. What's his rule? He only kills people who kill people?
He's a killer of killers.
Killer of killers, yeah.
I mean, I still think that's pretty bad.
Okay.
It's killing people.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that Hitmonkey ultimately is trying to do good, but really...
I
just want to put myself on the record of saying killing people is bad.
Jeez, okay. You've changed, yeah. Pete.
All right.
You used to just take hits for money. Now you won't even kill killers.
No, I'm a pacifist.
But that's
got a pacifist.
Bryce is his mentor.
Yes.
And he's going, I'm not gonna be like you. I'm not gonna kill for money. Bryce just killed this politician. He didn't know anything about him. It was a lot of cash, so he took the job.
Yeah.
Whereas Hitmonkey's like,
I don't know what cash is.
I don't know what cash is. It makes no sense to me. I really just wish my monkey friends were back hanging out in that pool.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Hitmonkey's reasons for killing are probably more substantial than Bryce's.
Yeah. Because Bryce, I mean, I don't know if he really needs vengeance on the...
I mean, it people, is his fault.
Yeah.
No, it's not Hitmonkey's fault that in any way that his tribe was killed. It's all Bryce's fault.
Yeah, Bryce brought them there.
Yep.
And it's all on Bryce.
Yep.
And I think he goes pretty easy on Bryce.
Probably. Yeah.
There's a couple of times during the season that he sort of holds him to account a little bit more, but for the most part, he sort of just puts up with him.
Yeah, Bryce has the advantage of being more articulate, and Hitmonkey can't really explain exactly what Hitmonkey's feeling because
it's possible that we missed the scene where Bryce explained doorknobs.
It could be.
You know, they can't put everything in.
They might have skipped over that, yeah.
Yeah.
Haruka, who is Olivia Munn, we were talking about before, she saw the security camera footage and they're like, it's the monkey. She goes to try to convince the police force of that and is laughed out of the building.
Yes, even though her partner says, don't say it.
Yeah.
Don't say it.
The old cop is like,
please don't say it.
I've made this mistake before.
Because the old cop, he thinks that as well, but he's like, don't say that. We need more evidence. This is going to sound pretty ridiculous.
Wait, they've got video footage though. I mean, that's enough evidence in a lot of cases.
And he's got fur as well from the crime scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which she thought was him taking drugs or something.
Yeah, she gave him a funny look.
Yeah, and then she turned on him. She said, I'm not going to work with someone who's corrupt. And then he said, no, I think it was the monkey fur.
But he picks it up, knowing that it's going to be evidence that will not be accepted by anyone before he even knows that it's... Anyway, I'm just saying that's a bit...
It's like he's doing his own... because even it would be inadmissible in court, wouldn't it? If he's like secretly taken it and it's been on him the whole time.
Yep. Oh, by the way, I had some evidence that I found that I didn't tell you about that I got from the crime scene earlier.
But I think, I mean, he doesn't trust the force either, with good reason. There's a lot of dodginess there.
He's also out for revenge. Yeah. He declares in the first episode that to his new partner that if he finds the person who killed his partner, that he will kill them.
Yeah, he kills killers too.
Lots of revenge, lots of killers killing killers.
Yeah, kid show.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm wrong. Olivia Munn is the niece.
Got it.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, what you said.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you're right. Haruka is voiced by Ally Mackie, from Toy Story 4.
Oh, who'd you play in Toy Story 4?
Giggle McDimples.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Great character.
Andy.
Andy.
A powerhouse performance as Giggle McStiggles.
Gigabits to Perturba. So, what else is important in episode three? Anything?
I'm guessing this is one he got drunk. Is that why it's titled that? They went to it, like he was trying to fit in at this casino.
Yeah.
Because every episode, Bryce gets, there's a little clue. They just, everyone they kill somehow leads them to the next person they got to kill.
Yeah. So in the previous episode, at the end of the funeral, there's like a military general that gets hit by a bus. Again, they sort of accidentally kill him.
Mm.
And
there's something about the twins. Oh, there's these two names and it turns out they're brothers. So they go to the casino where they work.
Yeah. Yeah. Kepe and Tepe.
And to fit in, Bryce is telling Monkey, like, they sort of crash this casino and everyone pulls their guns on Monkey. Yep. And Bryce is like, dance, yeah. Monkey. So Monkey starts dancing and then they're all like, hey, this guy's cool.
He's just a dancing monkey.
This monkey can stay with us. That's fun. So, he ends up partying. He's doing shots and...
The gambling... Hit Monkey develops
cheating
a drinking.
As well.
Oh, yeah?
Well, Bryce is going around looking at everyone's cards.
Yeah. But, you know, what can you do? You got to do something, right?
You're going to mention he does a lot of drinking.
Yeah, when presumably we miss the scene where Bryce teaches Monkey how to play poker.
Yes.
Yeah.
They cut. There's a lot of cut scenes.
Yeah.
This would have gone on for so freaking long if we we need a montage for every skill he's about to use.
Yeah. Using buttons.
Yeah. Yeah. The monkey develops a drinking problem to get over his pain and dislike of killing. After Hit Monkey is captured by the twins, that's Cape and Tepe, revealed to be the sons of the old woman. A bit awkward there. Bryce finally admits that being a killer isn't easy. Hitmonkey
finally admitted
he made it look easy, yeah. But I guess that's his skill, right? Hitmonkey then kills his captors. Yeah, he's quipping. Hitmonkey then kills his captors, picks up a finance book, discovering the address of a man named the accountant who paid for the assassination.
Right,
got it.
In the meantime, he's taking down this big gambler. They need to even find the twins. He has to go to the high rollers room. So he's winning. Mm. They're cheating downstairs in the main room. They get invited up to the high rollers room. And then Bryce keeps going, don't take this guy down. He won't like it. And Monkey doesn't listen and he goes all in and he cleans him out. And then that guy gets angry. But then he ends up dying too.
What do you think the other gamblers are thinking about while they're playing against?
Yeah, they think it's cute for a bit. And then they're looking like the macaques in the end. Yeah. He's absolutely cleaning them up.
Yeah. Hitmonkey, it's becoming pretty clear that he's pretty good at killing people too.
Yeah, he feels like one of his powers is invincibility.
Yes.
There's no scenario, and Bryce is never nervous about him. He'll be outnumbered like 20-1. And Bryce's like, all right, do your stuff. This guy picked up a gun 3 weeks ago. And now you're just like, yeah, kill all these trained killers. I'll just lean up against the car and quip for a bit.
Well, I mean, at this point he's discovered he's a ghost and can't affect objects or anything around him.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing he can do, but he doesn't even seem like he's worried at all.
Should be more concerned, especially when Hitmonkey is the only way that he's going to get revenge for his own death.
Which he sees as the way for him to get to the afterlife.
Maybe Hitmonkey is invincible because he has unfinished business.
Right.
It's like that episode of Rick and Morty I watched the other day.
Right.
Was there new Rick and Morty?
Yeah, there's new Rick and Morty.
Huh.
And there's an episode with...
Rick and Monkey episodes? It seems like something they might do.
Probably.
Oh, that'd be handy.
But there's an episode with fortune cookies and they can't die while they have an unfulfilled fortune. So maybe it's like that.
Oh, yeah, could be.
He's invincible because he's got to sort his shit out.
Yeah, but he's like he just can't miss. He's very kills good. Anyone. He's very good.
Maybe monkeys are just better at guns and swords than we are.
With the katana, with could the be. Guns,
they're more agile.
Fist to fist.
We really haven't done enough tests.
You're right.
And they've been wasting all this time testing shampoos on monkeys. They should be testing out hand-to-hand combats with them. I obviously don't. I don't think
condone,
we should be. I don't condone. I don't think we should be testing anything on monkeys apart.
No.
Apart from maybe cuddles? Leaving them the fuck alone.
Oh, yeah, probably leaving them alone. No, don't cuddle them.
Well, I wouldn't recommend cutting it.
No, they should be testing the shampoo on CGI monkeys.
Yeah, get Andy Serkis in. Get him to put some balls on his head.
So I watched Andy Serkis in something yesterday. Batman? I watched the Batman.
What did you think?
I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It just went for way too long.
Yeah, it was like 3 hours.
There was like a whole, I reckon they could have just trimmed out 45 minutes.
Was he in a mocap suit? I haven't seen it yet.
No, it was just in an Alfred, or just a classic suit.
Regular
tie,
suit. Yep.
Suit and tie.
Are you sure that he wasn't in a mocap suit?
Oh, that's a good point.
They CGI'd a different suit
I'm
on
I'm not
it?
Sure of that at all.
Because for versatility's sake, I mean, they could choose halfway through the filming to just put on another suit.
Change the tie.
Yep.
Change splatter the tie. Some blood on if you need to.
Take it off.
Ooh, yeah, anything.
Change his hair.
That's true. Make him a chimp.
Make him a chimp.
They've still got the Caesar stuff there. Good to go. It would probably be cheaper just to make him look like a chimp these days.
Yeah. And
Monkey Butler.
They've recorded other, you know, other actors' facial expressions project, like Tom Hanks in the Polar Express.
Yeah.
So we could put Tom Hanks's face.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like
his uncanny valley face.
His uncanny valley face straight onto Andy Serkis.
Right. Sort of like a Buffalo Bill scenario.
That's right, yeah.
CGI version.
Yeah. It puts the lotion on its skin.
Yes.
Or the shampoo in its hair, or else it gets the hose again.
Exactly.
Yep, just like that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So they're going after the accountant.
Yeah.
This is the guy that paid for the assassination.
This is one other thing that happens a bit. Not only is he sort of haunted by, or not haunted.
He's literally haunted by Bryce.
He's haunted by Bryce, but he's also sort of haunted by his old alpha monkey.
Yeah.
He'll come back and he'll say, but basically just come back and go, what have you become? Drinking now?
Yeah.
And that's just for him to be able to say, explain to him, oh, it makes the pain of your loss lessen and stuff.
Because in that situation, we can see the monkey subtitles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we can't usually when he's talking to Bryce, can we?
Yeah, only monkey to monkey
right.
Subtitles.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting choice. You've got to have rules.
You've got to have rules. Because you can't have a talking monkey. That would be ridiculous.
A bit silly.
The address leads them to a prison, which is weird. His address is a prison.
Mm.
And then so they infiltrate the prison, breaking into a prison, usually a bad idea. They are captured by the warden. They escape and learn that the accountant is located in a closed-off area of the prison called the Pit, which is, I guess, like a high security. I don't know. He's a real bad guy.
Yeah. At first it seemed like it, you know, it's like solitary confinement or something, but it's sort of like the reverse penthouse. It's like a nice big roomy area where he kind of runs the show down there himself.
Yeah. Right.
Reverse penthouse.
It's like a reverse penthouse. It's down.
Do you mean the basement?
The basement.
Yeah.
I don't really know about these sort of terms. I've lived in one level houses my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you, what did you have, a basement and an attic?
Addict.
Once you get really wealthy, you start having an attic.
You have your
in
own
the
attic.
Roof.
Yeah.
Just for fun, just to see what they get up to.
So they, Akiko has run off the road. Akiko is the niece of the candidate who's now running.
Olivia Munn.
Is run off the road by Ozu's promotional team, being the conservative candidate, right?
That's right.
Although Yokohama tells her not to call the press conference to avoid an incident. Anyway.
Yeah, it was sort of weird. His logic didn't always add up.
The C-plot is the political intrigue.
Yeah, it's not, I don't know, it's not that thrilling really, but I guess it does matter in the end. Within the pit, Hitmonkey and Bryce meet the accountant, so they find who they're looking for.
The pit is also very Buffalo Bill-ish.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
The accountant forces them to battle Fat Cobra. The Hit Monkey wins. Refuse.
Are you familiar with this guy, Pete? He's sort of like got electricity power.
Yeah.
See that guy?
I feel like this is the first time we get. No, it's not. I was going to say it's the first time we get some sort of supernatural sort of abilities, but I mean, other than the ghost and the monkey that can.
Well, yeah, but like more classically.
Yeah, almost like a superhero, supervillain thing. Yeah.
And there's a few of them that come out of nowhere over the rest of the season.
Yeah, really, I felt like quite odd occurrences.
Yeah, I'm like, because it's, you know, they made the choice for us to not hear monkey speak. It's like, it almost feels like it's vaguely grounded in reality in a bizarre way.
Yeah.
But then there's a few things that are just so ridiculous.
Yeah, that's when it started to feel a bit more like a Saturday morning cartoon or something to me, but for adults, because it's clearly not a kid's cartoon.
There's lots of blood and people being cut in half.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea of like super villains coming into it or whatever, like what are we watching? So Hitmonkey decides he doesn't want to finish off the fat cobra. I guess it feels like he's got no beef with this guy.
Yeah.
He was just forced to fight him by the accountant. And so he refuses to kill him and instead teams up with him, and then they both defeat the accountant.
And the accountant, his secret little, like, so
yeah,
like he's got everyone addicted on lollies or candy.
Yeah.
And that's how he sort of controls them. But they all think they're all in it together.
Mm.
And then it turns out he's got a secret, like, quite well-furnished pad.
Yeah, is it like a hidden room, which is quite luxurious? And then they all find
sort of
that.
Like a penthouse.
Right.
Like a reverse penthouse.
Right, but underground. Underground. Yeah. Yeah. When then everybody sees he's been hiding this, like, luxurious room, they go after, they take him out themselves. Hitmonkey doesn't even have to do it.
Well, Fat Cobra is a genuine comic book character.
Great. I've
never heard of Fat Cobra before, but it's got quite an extensive backstory.
I love that.
Probably even more than Hitmonkey.
There would be people who watched it who would have been loving some of these cameos or.
Yeah, these little nods to other series. The before the accountant meets his end, he says he was hired by the rooster to fund the assassination of Takahara. So they've got a new lead.
So, yeah. So episode 5's focused on their hunt for the rooster. Before we get to that, is there anything you want to tell us about this character you've just discovered?
The Fat Cobra.
Fat Cobra?
What does he do? It felt like he had electric legs.
He's got a lot of tattoos.
Okay.
There's like
big mutton chops.
When they give these kind of, they give so much backstory. And so there's little notes here that Fat Cobra helped teach Kung Fu to Elvis Presley.
Wow.
Yeah. That's all I've got for you on Fat Cobra.
Oh, that's
yep.
That made the question well worth asking.
I mean, it raises a lot of points.
That's so funny.
That Fat Cobra is that old.
Yeah.
That Elvis Presley knows Kung Fu.
I guess, is that a, maybe it's a true thing, is it?
I mean, it's all made up. But,
okay.
You know, it's not real. But it is a true thing in another untrue sense of the word.
According to MarvelFandom.com, his powers include chi manipulation,
mm-hmm.
chi augmentation,
mm-hmm.
chi enhanced fist.
Got it.
Electrokinesis.
Check.
Nervous system control.
Ooh.
Energy detection.
Whose nervous system?
Fat Cobra has complete control over his nervous system, enabling him to deaden himself to pain, resist the effects of drugs or poisons, and slow down the rate at which he bleeds.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
You can make it so that you can feel things with your fingers, but your thumbs can't feel anything.
Oh.
If you could control your nervous system.
Yeah, I imagine he could. He could do whatever he likes.
If you felt like that was a useful thing to do.
So he's got a lot of stuff, and that was only half of it. Some of his weaknesses include memory loss and vices. Over his long life, he's indulged in many vices, namely food, drink, drugs.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the woodworking tool.
Oh, I see.
It's like
yeah.
a clamp, table-based clamp.
He's hit all the classics though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And yet the Hitmonkey is able to take him down.
Yep. That just shows the power of Hitmonkey.
Yeah. You might be wondering, how did Hitmonkey get out of the prison that he broke into?
Mm.
Well, he did so with the help of a rat.
Yes. Because there were two options. He could have gone with Fat Cobra, but the rat said, I can help you out, monkey. Because monkeys can talk, and we can see them talking.
This is the rules, just setting up the rules again.
So this is
rats and monkeys can communicate.
This is monkey to rat subtitles?
Yeah.
So the rat says, screech, screech, screech.
Yes.
And says...
No worries, monkey. Come with me.
Yep, got it.
And so, and then once they get out, Hitmonkey goes to visit Akiko. So this is the niece of the political candidate who's now running in the place of Takahara. And they sort of start a bit of a like a friendship, I guess, or a they sort of become friends.
Yeah.
Because earlier in another, it was in episode two, I think at the funeral, he saves her life.
Yes, it seems to be all based on that.
And yeah, it's almost like a Spider-Man, Mary Jane thing, maybe. You know, she's like, ah, you saved me. And then...
Oh, is that how Spider-Man and Mary Jane get together?
Something like that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they had a history. I don't know.
There you go.
I thought they went to high school together.
Well, I don't know.
They met each other in high school.
He saves Mary Jane, then Mary Jane's like, ah, oh, Spider-Man. But Spider-Man never went to school.
Yeah. And
Peter Parker did.
Hitmonkey never kisses Mary Jane upside down.
Ah.
Okay. Hitmonkey and Mary Jane, they're in different things.
But they're in the same. Oh, look, who's the Marvel expert here?
Okay, all right. They're all part of the MCU. All right.
That's right. They can kiss whoever they want.
Oh, man, I love. Hitmonkey would be fantastic to bring into the MCU. He's such a great character to have in there.
I actually, based on the strength of this TV show, I think it'd work fine.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. I mean, they've shown like other little animals, like Rocket Raccoon and stuff.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be great.
And I mean, for the Bryce character, the obvious choice is John Goodman.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe they could tie it in with King Ralph 2. So he dies in King Ralph 2 because of a weird comical.
That's right.
Accident, and he ends up
helping a monkey seek revenge.
Yeah, I reckon let's get King Ralph into the MCU. Let's start a petition.
Okay. Also, at the end of Ep 4 is where he's starting to get a name for himself in the media, and you know, it's like people are starting to be aware of this monkey in a suit. I assume it's Hitmonkey. Monkey. Maybe it's just monkey.
Yeah, I think maybe it's still just monkey.
It's more
maybe.
Of an image of a monkey and the glasses, and the people are starting to take note.
Is there a precedence for this, Pete, where the public, you know, outside of the comic book world know them as a certain name, but inside the world they're not known by that? Because normally they seem to almost identify with themselves, with their name.
Sometimes in the movies especially, they tend to they kind of drop the names if the names sound a bit silly.
Right.
I can't think of an example, but
I was watching Batman yesterday, and everyone went around calling him Vengeance. I'm Vengeance,
Danny Vengeance.
Yeah, I don't know if they really called him Batman throughout the whole film.
There you go.
I think media, the like newspaper stuff. I think he was called Batman, but like
he never said I'm Batman.
No, he never said that.
Huh.
He said I'm Vengeance.
I'm Vengeance.
Are you sure you watched Batman? You didn't watch Vengeance?
It might have been Vengeance.
Oh. Easy mistake.
Very similar characters, so yeah.
Anyway, that's Ep 4.
Well, finally today, you want to take us through Ep 5 or you want a break? I can go through the last one if you like.
Sure.
So this is Episode 5, Run Monkey Run, and it starts with the Yakuza leaders, including the Rooster, and they join together to place a bounty on Monkey. So there's just like a classic, you know, mob or Yakuza room. The families are all there.
Yep, they got the committee together and they've all decided this guy's a bit of trouble.
Meeting the families.
And then, there's a bit of back and forth, but the guy who seems to be like the most senior guy, he's adamant, we got to take this guy out. He's made my nephew look like a fool.
Yeah.
After being tailored for a new suit, and there's a whole scene there where he goes to it's like an underworld tailor.
Yeah.
Which has a celebrity wall of photos.
Yeah, it's got all the photos.
All the photos of other hitmen and other things, including Bryce's on there.
Yeah.
Who looks very unlike Bryce.
Yeah, he looks very different in his photo. I guess it's a young version of him.
Yeah, it's funny that they made that choice. It's like it makes sense that he would, but it's funny that they make it slightly harder than it needs to be.
Yeah, like want to make it look like just, I guess, a younger version of him.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. You would look at that and go, that's a different character.
Is it to show that the life of being a hitman has really taken a toll
that's
on Bryce?
Possibly what
they left him unrecognizable.
Okay.
Maybe he has to change his appearance to evade the law.
Oh, that's true too.
So the Bryce we know and love actually looks a bit different.
It's the result of plastic surgery.
I mean, he looks hotter. probably now than he did in that photo.
It's a stubble. Mm.
Yeah, that's it really probably helps. It. Stubble is hot. And you got a thick rug going on now.
Yeah, it's a bit far past stubble.
Oh, that's right, that's beard.
Yeah, that's beard.
Evans in stubble country.
Yep. Yeah.
It's your stubble country.
God's yeah. country.
The order goes me, Pete, Matt. Matt's yeah. gone full beard.
It's a real ombre of beards.
So he's tailed up for a new suit and then is attacked by various assassins.
So they've put a hit out. Like he's got a dollar figure on his head.
Yeah, it's like 150,000 or 150, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, 100 million yen, 150 million yen, quite a lot.
How many Brazilian rand?
Ooh.
Was it rand real? Or real?
Real, sorry. How many Brazilian real?
Oh, quite a few.
Yeah.
But it's because Bryce is like, I never had a hit on me that big. And yeah.
150 million yen is 1.6 million Australian dollars.
And how many
in real?
And it seems to go out on like a Hitman app. Like we see a montage of all these different sort of ridiculous looking hit people.
Yeah, it's a bit like
a message.
5.3 million.
Their eyes lighting up.
Thank Brazilian you, real.
Yeah, it's a bit like everyone's favorite Johnny Wick.
Yeah.
There's a scene in that where everyone gets a notification that it's time to kill John Wick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
who's your favorite Johnny Wick?
Vibe.
It's a bit weird.
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
It feels a bit weird that you assume that everyone has the same favorite Johnny Wick.
Yeah.
My favorite Johnny Wick is a listener of this show. Hi, John, if you're listening, or you listen to one of the other shows I do. I forget. One time a guy messaged me. He sent in a question for who knew with Matt Stewart, and he said his name. It says your name, and he said in brackets, yes, that is my real name. <You're> like, oh, man, you would have been going about life until 5 or 8 years ago, whatever, just like, it's yeah, fine. I'm the only John Wick I know. And then one day he goes past, and you're like, yes, I'm also named John Wick.
Do you think he could get his name changed by Deepole to John Wick, open brackets, yes,
that is my real name,
close brackets.
I think he should.
Yeah, make things easier
yeah.
and more official.
So, yeah, so all these different assassins are coming at him one by one. They're trying to get the cash. They can take him dead or alive. Bryce gets a bit jealous. And then Akiko discloses Ozu's supposed attack on her to the press, even though her uncle said, don't do it. But her uncle, you know, is annoyed by that. While Ito expresses sympathy to Hit Monkey's case or cause after he kills a corrupt officer. So, yeah, the young cop's like, well, now we know he's bad. This guy's not only killing killers, he's killing cops. But the old grizzly cop's like,
no.
Yeah, that guy's a dodgy cop. She's like, where do we draw the line?
Yeah, well, he's...
With blood, apparently.
Because he's...
In blood.
Because the cop that is killed is in the Yakuza, which seems like a weird... I mean, I don't really know what the Yakuza is, but there's a police officer who is Yakuza.
Crimes. They do crimes.
Right, I see. Seems weird that there's a police officer probably. Who... Anyway.
If you're an he's Yakuza a corrupt listener...
call in now.
Let us know. Leave us a review. 5 stars.
Lines are open.
All right, Pete, this is where we get our next out of the blue, very comic booky character come in. So.
Well, you've got to have action figures for the Hit Monkey action figure toy range.
Yeah.
That's true. So, have you heard of Yuki?
Yuki.
A ghostly assassin.
I've heard of Ghost.
Yeah.
Who's a Marvel supervillain, but no, not Yuki.
Okay. So, Yuki. So, the. We see like a walking tour of Tokyo and all of a sudden they're saying, and this, it's like a, it looks like a just a wooden barrel. And the guide's saying, this is where one of the story goes that one of Tokyo's protectors was buried right here. And as he's saying that, Yuki just flies out into the sky. And then the guide says something like, don't worry, that's all part of the show.
Yeah.
But it's wasn't.
No, she was just covering.
I'm just looking up MarvelFandom.com. Says Yuki is a member of the Nail, descendants of the 5 women ninjas that served the Hand as an elite strike team for 1,000 years. Yeah, it's not a very in-depth page about her, so she might not be as famous as
Fat Cobra.
I would have guessed Yuki was the more famous one, but
she's a ghost. But she can see and talk to Bryce,
yes.
But also everyone else can see and talk to her, which is an interesting little handy little thing that comes in handy later in the series.
There's a few conversations where she's talking to, and she can talk to Monkey as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's people who can't see Bryce going, wait, who are you talking to? It would be very confusing. Yuki must have to explain stuff all the time.
It's a real Venn diagram of ghost monkey communication.
She's right in the middle there. She's the overlap. But her big thing is, I'm the protector of Tokyo. She says that a lot.
Got it.
Or at least once.
Not unlike, so she's the Godzilla of this story.
I guess so. I haven't seen any Godzilla stuff, but I'm keen to see, since we stopped doing the show a while back, Godzilla versus King Kong came out.
Yeah,
we should definitely do that.
Have you ever talked about the King Kong the musical?
No, I was just looking through our suggestions. So if listeners want to suggest topics of discussion, there's a link in the show notes. And the last one that I saw was the King Kong Broadway musical. So yeah, got to do an episode on that at some point. You saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, are you putting your hand up? I mean, we've got you down as the Marvel expert. Are you also the musical expert?
I mean, it is. Wait, how many musical episodes have you had so far?
None, I reckon.
None. I mean,
unless there was an Umbrella Academy musical episode. Normally there is something like that.
It certainly is a musical about King Kong. Okay. I'll say that much.
So Yuki comes out. She attacks Hit Monkey and Bryce. This is one of the scenes where she's taken on Hit Monkey and Bryce is just being dragged along. But she can also hurt Bryce a bit, right? Am I remembering that right, Ev?
Yeah.
She's trying to prevent them from killing. She's like, I'm protecting this city and you're out there causing a ruckus. I'm putting a stop to it. While fighting Yuki and a street racer named Aiko, this is poorly written, Evan, I'll agree. I don't really love the Wikipedia synopses.
Yeah, it's not just me. It's poorly written in a few ways. So this guy, Aiko, the street racer, he's one of the assassins that's out to...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And he's doing it live streamed.
That's right, yeah. He's a bit of a weird character.
It feels like that's something you wouldn't do as a hit man. Right?
No, that's pretty brazen.
Yeah.
But then again, he's driving around in a fancy car and, I mean, he's not a subtle guy. But then again, neither is
Bryce.
Turn
it down, mate.
Bryce could probably, stand to turn it down a bit as well, so.
Yeah, well, that was something that I was finding. It took me a while to figure out. I'm like, why is he? He's just sort of always on the same tone, always the same energy, always just quipping. I'm like, why aren't you? He never quiets down in awkward scenes. He always, no matter what's happening, he's always talking the same way to Monkey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that seems strange. But then I'm like, oh, because no one can hear him. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But you'd still think that there'd be some hangover from him being a human where you whisper when people might be able to hear you. He instantly got used to being a ghost.
Mm. Well, I mean, it was established that he was like this anyway.
Yes.
And that's why he was so lonely, apart from all the killing.
Yeah. I'm not meaning to be like an annoying nitpicker like that. I don't really give a shit about the reality. We're talking about a hit monkey here.
Yeah.
But I would enjoy the show more. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a bit more if there was sort of just some levels in the performance from Sudoku's.
Yeah, he gets a bit. There's just so much of him because Hitmonkey doesn't talk, and Hitmonkey is kind of the lead, the main character, and so Sudoku's sort of talking for two.
Yes, and I get all that, and I think there's probably not much you could do about it. I just think if you just had a little bit of tone variance and stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess there's no reason for him to. And maybe he just didn't give a shit. I don't know.
I think a hit monkey is filling in all of those quiet brooding spaces.
He does a lot of great brooding.
Yeah.
He reminds me a little bit of Ryan from the OC. From the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah.
Hey, Chino.
Yeah, I remember Ryan.
I think very similar characters.
I was at an op shop today.
Uh-huh.
And on the shelf was an OC DVD box set.
OCD.
An OC DVD box set from like China or something.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been like the Chinese version. It was like the full series.
Does your DVD player accept zone, whatever.
Different region, yeah.
I don't have a DVD, but I don't think I'd have to put it.
Why'd
in my
you buy it then?
I didn't buy it. I've never seen the OC.
Evan, that seems like a weird purchase.
Why did we have to watch it, Evan?
We have to see if there's a monkey in it. Yep.
Okay, so.
Car chase,
so
bit of
a
fun.
Car chase, bit of fun. Then Hit
it's
Monkey.
It's all a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hit Monkey saves Ito from being run over. separately convincing both him and Yuki that he is good. Hitmonkey is then captured by the Poacher, who's another one of the... This is like a very... Feels like a cartoon, a character from Captain Planet or something.
Yeah.
I'm the Poacher.
Yeah, it definitely gets into a bit of these sort of cartoony stereotypes.
He's the taxidermist by day and a villain by night sort of guy. Yes. Together they kill the Poacher. This is Bryce. What are we calling him?
Dead Lasso.
Dead Lasso and the monkey kill the Poacher. And a Poacher... It's the first time I've seen a cartoon poacher who's not an American doing an Australian accent either. It's normally, what's going on here? We'll get these wallabies and we'll put them in with the lions and we got all these ostrich eggs and we're selling them on the black market.
Yeah, okay.
So it was a bit jarring to see a poacher.
Yeah. I didn't get up to this. Is the poacher wearing a safari suit?
Well, another thing that a big cross for me.
Yeah, right.
No, what was the poacher wearing? It wasn't a safari suit. She looked more like a mad scientist or something from memory.
Well, that doesn't quite match up, does it?
Am I thinking it right?
I didn't even find a picture of him.
Yeah, well, that says it all, doesn't he? Doesn't it?
He didn't last very long.
No, not long enough for someone to screenshot and upload it to the internet. There you go. Cop that, poacher.
Yeah, if you are out there, admins of marvelfandom.com, you need to do your work.
Yeah.
There's a picture of Nigel Thornberry.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty... That's who I'm imagining.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Pith helmet.
Shave off his mustache and you're getting pretty close.
Can you do a Nigel Thornberry impersonation, Evan?
It's been so long since I've seen it.
Is it English?
What is he? Yeah, he's English, right?
It's Tim Curry.
Oh.
Can you do a Tim Curry impersonation?
Now, is Tim Curry the musical writer or the guy from A Little Orphan Annie? Is he Rooster?
The guy from Little Orphan Annie.
Is that the rooster he plays in that, the same rooster from Hitmonkey?
It could be. Yeah.
That was a great character. Jeez, he stole the show.
Who are you talking about?
Tim Curry Rice
in Little Orphan Annie played Rooster. Came in sort of a bit of a swindler. Came in to try and get Annie
to
sell her on the black market.
Daddy Warbucks' million.
Are you talking about Rooster in this show? Or
both shows.
Both shows.
As far as I know.
Okay.
Their names are both Rooster. That's probably the only thing tying them together.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, well, if you are, then I'm sure everyone is. So
Nigel Thornberry's like a hello.
Oh, so is he's Australian.
I don't know. No, he's not. No.
Hello.
I'm Nigel Thornberry.
Yeah, this is a peak character for sure. Yep. Nigel Thornberry here.
So Monkey and Dead Lasso kill the poacher, and that's the big end of the episode. Rooster is arrested by the police. And their apartment is destroyed by Yuki. So Hitmonkey decides to stay with Akiko and she allows it.
Who's Yuki?
Yuki's the protector of Tokyo.
Oh, the ghost woman. Yep. Yeah, yep.
So that brings us to the halfway point of the series. And maybe, we'll put a pin in it there and maybe come back next week or sometime soon and finish it off. Because I'm loving it. And it sounds like, do we get ahead of you, Pete? Now you can watch the final five episodes.
Now I've got to catch up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. I remember when I hadn't seen the last five episodes of Hitmonkey. It was all ahead of me. I'm jealous of where you are right now. Does any of these names mean anything to you? Neil Holman, the director, or Josh Gordon and Will Speck?
No.
No, none of those. They seem to be the... all the episodes were directed by Neil Holman. It was created by Will Speck and Josh Gordon.
They've worked on Lyle Lyle Crocodile.
Oh, what's that?
Which sounds fun.
Yep.
It's about a crocodile.
I don't think any of the creative team really, I didn't recognize any names.
All the money went to Dead Lasso.
Yeah.
Mm. And George Takei, of course.
Yes. Who plays the uncle, the politician who steps in to...
Plays it beautifully as well.
Run for prime minister.
Love his work there.
Mm.
Well, so I guess we normally give it a little score, but I guess this is just a midpoint score. Do we give it a score at all at this point? Do we save it for the end of the next episode?
No, we give it a score and then we add them all up at the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is so we normally give it a banana score. How big's your bunch?
Yep.
In this case, I guess it's a half bunch.
Yep.
And then how many bananas do you give it out of that bunch?
Out of a half bunch.
Yeah. I'm going to say for me, because I know it's a baffling system. I'll say mine and then you'll let your brain catch up. I'll say my normal bunch is 7. So I guess it's 3.5 this time. And I'm going to give it 3 out of 3.5 for the first half of the series. I was loving it. I was all the way in and couldn't wait for more at this point. Jeez, Pete, you're right there now. Freaking hell, I'm jealous.
I can't wait. My normal bunch is 29.
Okay. Yeah. So when you really set yourself up for the month when you go banana shopping.
That's right.
Okay, if it's February in a leap year.
Yeah.
So and you're eating one a day.
And there's really, I buy my bananas green.
Yes.
So they can ripen up. So it's really just a good midpoint in the month where I can actually eat the bananas without being sick.
Oh, you don't just eat them the whole way. You don't eating green ones and end up eating brown ones.
No, I do. I eat green ones. I eat a banana every day. It's just that I enjoy them more in the middle of the month
because they're ripe.
Yeah, because they've ripened up.
Yeah, right.
So that's your full month? That's your full purchase? So a half bunch then is 14 and a half
bananas? Yeah, I suppose so. I picked a...
Well, how many bananas out of 4.5 did you give the first half of the season?
12.
12 out of
12.
12 out of 14.5.
That's pretty good.
Because you didn't love the comic book. Did you enjoy this more?
I did enjoy it more. I thought it was a good, just like in terms of the show, it was a good balance of being kind of serious and also, all those quips were pretty funny.
Yeah, there's a little bit of figuring out what's going on, a bit of almost like there's a bit of a whodunit in the background sort of.
And I think that it's pretty well composed in terms of the shots that they get in and the movement and the sort of like the dramatic part where after Hit Monkey at the start has just slaughtered the SEAL team that's come to, not a SEAL team, but the mercenaries.
Yeah.
And it's just posing with holding two rifles was pretty iconic.
I love some pretty cool stylized shots.
All the title, like every episode they do the Hitman Monkey title in a different spot, which has, been done a bunch of times before.
Do they really do that nice in Umbrella about. Academy?
Yes, I think they do. That's right.
And they also do things like, and it's become a bit more common lately, but instead of just saying Tokyo in small font down the bottom, Tokyo is huge letters that the aeroplane flies past on the way through. So it's a fun, stylish kind of show. It's got monkeys in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got assassins, which, I'm not 100% on assassins, but monkeys definitely.
More of a monkey man than
more of a monkey man. That's right.
Assassin man. Evan, what's your bunch? I forget. It's been a while.
I just Googled banana bunch and look, there's a variety there, but I'm going to go with 5.
5, yep. That's a half bunch for you? Or that's
pretty safe. That's a full bunch.
Oh.
So you're scoring out of 2.5 here today?
Yes.
And what's your score out of 2.5?
hang on, I've got my calculator. You're getting a calculator out. 1.75.
Okay. I like it. We're working with some fractions here if the calculator's coming out.
And for this scoring, we're all adding our bananas up at the end.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So what I had 12, you had...
I've noted them all down.
Yeah, excellent.
For posterity.
Excellent, good.
And also because we will almost definitely forget. The other thing we like to do, and a listener messaged in last week to tell me to bring it back. We haven't done it for probably about 18 months, but we also like to give a DNA percentage. So regular guests on the show, some sort of scientist, Andy Matthews, has said in the past that we share about 98.something% DNA with chimpanzees. So the question is, how much of yourself, Peter, do you see in the titular monkey?
What
reasons?
Expand on that. Hid Monkey does a lot of the things that I do.
Mm-hmm. Kill in cold blood.
Well, I was thinking more about opening doors, wearing clothing, wearing glasses, as I demonstrated before.
Ticking a few boxes for me as well there.
The killing, not so much. I think I'd probably take longer to learn how to become an assassin than Hit Monkey did. But there's still a lot of me in Hit Monkey, I think. I do have a ghost of an assassin that haunts me, trying to convince me to, commit acts of revenge.
And are they here now?
Always.
Okay.
Always. Whispering in my ear. So in that way, we're similar.
Yeah.
But in a lot of ways, not. So I'm going to say that we have 64%.
64%.
DNA in common. Or sorry, I have, yeah, but we, as in him, monkey, and I both have that much in common.
For all the same reasons, only I also do kill people sometimes, so I'm slightly higher. Yeah. That's why I'm 69%. And Evan, how about you?
Nice.
I'm gonna go 50.
Yeah.
I share a lot of those.
Like the old coughing
well.
Lady. She went
50%. 50-50, split down the middle. I share most of those things. I don't have the ghost haunting.
Right.
In the, so.
There's only two ghosts in this room right now. great work. Well, we'll see. We'll revisit those scores at the end of the second part two of this.
Yeah, don't touch this. Don't touch this dial.
No. Yeah.
The one that you're thinking about touching, don't touch it.
The dial on your iPod.
A couple of...
Click wheel.
Click wheel, that's it.
If people want to ask a question of me or the guests or have any suggestions or anything like that, there's a few forms with links in the show notes you can fill out.
So yeah, tell us what you think of Hitmonkey.
We'd love to hear a few weeks down the line. Or if you do it this week, you'll probably catch us before we record the second episode.
Got to get in quick.
Yeah, please do. But here's a few messages from previous weeks. This one comes from Alison from Toronto, writing, in episode 131 with Seren, Matt decided that the sentence, "the data are very convincing," was a bad example. This is the second time.
We were talking about this last week.
This is the second week in a row I've been called out on. I thought I was making fun of someone, but it turned out
that it can be a plural.
That it is a plural, yeah. But I was told that like the day of the release of that episode about a month ago. I wrote a note in the show description saying, by the way, we now know. But I think I'm going to continue to
we
get...
We now know.
We.
Scientists support a lot.
But Alison goes, she says, the data are very convincing was an example of an Italian scientist using bad English. My fact is the word data is a plural Latin noun. Datum, is it datum or datum, is the singular Latin noun. However, as language evolves over time, data can be used as a singular noun in informal settings outside of a scientific or research context. So sum up, you're a fuckhead. And I love primates with all my heart. Well, thank you so much, Alison. I really appreciate that. The big lesson there was, for me, I've already forgotten the data thing. And if you ask me if it's a plural or a singular, like in 5 minutes, I'll be like, I forget. It's one of those. The big lesson is...
No, I think the lesson, you've already forgotten it, was that it could be both.
Oh, right. It could be both. The other lesson I've learned is don't assume you know more than a scientist.
Yeah.
I shouldn't assume I know more than anyone. What I don't know what I was getting off on that day where I'm like, well, this scientist said that a bit wrong.
What an idiot.
I appreciate that message from Alison. This one comes from Sam from Brighton. Hey, monkey boys. Great to have you back. Really loved the recent episode on Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes news. Big fan of that franchise too. To answer your question from that episode, yes, you should do a whole 10 episodes on Umbrella Academy Season 3. I haven't yet watched the third season and would love to have a whole crop of primates content to go with it. Thanks for everything you guys do, but especially for somewhat inspiring my own podcast, The Project Project, where, is that like a project recap? Every night they watch sort of news done differently.
Oh, that would be tedious. I hope it's not that.
Well, let me read on.
But if it is, power to you.
No, it's where they aim to cover every single project throughout pop culture and history.
Wow.
What does that even mean?
Like the something project or the...
Oh, the Mindy. Is there a Mindy project?
There is a Mindy project.
I'm trying to think of other projects.
Project A?
Project Runway.
Oh, Project Runway. Right.
Project. The Project might fall into that category, yes. The mm-hmm. news show in Australia and New Zealand.
Sam says the idea...
Project
came-
X?
Oh, okay. Well, you've just you're just ahead of me here. The idea came to me while listening to your episode on Project X way back in April 2019. Fast forward to now, and we've just released our 60th episode. Thanks for being 60? Such an inspiration.
Wow.
How many projects are there?
We got to look this up.
60, Evan.
Evan would love to be a guest on your show. Get in contact with him privately. Sam says, keep up the good work. Thank you so much, Sam. Oh, Sam says, P.S. Cheers for the plug. Sorry for tricking you, Matt. I know you don't read these beforehand.
No, they deserve a plug.
Yeah,
they,
that's no trick.
They're a regular listener.
Oh, Pete's got the sturgeon out again.
The
I got to use them before they go off.
It stinks in here. The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes being filmed in Sydney. I saw you post that this week.
That's right. Isn't it annoying that that information came out just after we recorded and released that episode? But that's
we'll
fun.
Have to do another episode.
Yes,
about that piece of information.
I feel like we got to go up there at some point and see if we can just stand on the edge of the set.
Yeah.
You've got passes from shoots.
I've got a zoom lens.
Are there any crowd scenes, do you think, that you could try and get yourself become
extras
in? Let's try
to weasel our way
into Wes Ball, the director, is listening, and I assume he is.
He's got to do his research.
Then please get me and Evan in one of those crowd shots. That's two less people. You got a CGI.
I'm sure that the director of the film personally vets every member of a crowd scene as well.
Well, that's what I assume as well. So I appreciate you confirming that.
Have you guys ever been an extra in the background or something?
I was on, when I was at primary school, had an excursion to Sale of the Century.
Oh, yeah.
And we were sitting in the crowd right behind the carryover champion's wife. And they kept going her to interview her. And they record like a week in a day. So she's changing her clothes between every shop and the same dorky primary school kid in a uniform is sitting right behind her. Jeez, these guys have just kept showing up.
And it's, you've been trapped in a room all week. And they don't let you change your clothes.
Yeah. Have you been an extra?
No, never. No, I don't have a face for extras.
You've been whatever the opposite of an extra is.
Feature
in a few of our sketches and stuff.
Which is,
I remember you being there on some Australia Day thing.
I was a politician in one of the sketches.
Yeah, when everyone was getting Australian of the Year.
That's right. Or whatever. Everyone got Australian of the Year. We're that kind of country.
And weren't you also like a crocodile man?
Yeah, that was pretty close to an extra. No, I was an angry tourist who was unhappy that
I want my money back.
Yeah.
That was such a great performance.
Be eaten by a crocodile.
I want my money back.
Yep. I really put a lot of thought
into
that.
I don't remember many things, but it's wild. I reckon that's word for word.
I didn't remember that at all. Yeah. I think I was in that scene.
Yeah,
you were the crocodile man. I was the crocodile man.
Holy shit.
My hat blew off.
The whole crew's back together.
I mean, Evan was dressed like a poacher.
That's true, I was.
And you did the Aussie accent.
I can't remember at all what that was, but probably I did.
I think you did
I think I was doing a Dundee sort of.
A soft Irwin or a hard Dundee.
Yeah, I can't remember that at all. It's on the internet somewhere.
What a terrible scale. The Derwent.
The last thing we do before we head off is read out any reviews that have come through, specifically 5-star reviews. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll read it out. We've got a couple during the week. First one comes from Corey in Seattle in the United States. So, Pete, the deal is if they give us 5 stars, whatever they write, I will read it out.
Right.
So if they want to really tell me that this show's shit, you can, but you got to do it with a 5-star review.
The algorithm works.
So Corey writes, welcome back, primates, 5 stars. Matt and company, oh, Evan, that's brutal. Matt and company are back. Although you weren't available, you were so busy for the first 4 or 5 that we did back this season.
Yeah.
So you've only recently
returned.
Yeah. So that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Matt and company are back in the Monkey House for the revival we have all been waiting for. I can't describe how happy I was when I saw new episodes of the best podcast on the internet in my feed. People can also be uncomfortably complimentary too, Pete.
Yeah, I feel like I shouldn't be involved in this, just watching something very intimate.
Fun and entertaining as always. Matt and guests are my favorite comfort podcast to get me through work. Keep up the great work. Cheers. Oh, thank you so much, Corey. That was very nice.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed the show.
And the other one comes from, I think they've just mashed the keyboard. TDHGFYFCYFGRFJ, and that's halfway through.
Okay.
Yeah. From Australia writes, are we not all apes? 5 stars. Oh. I'm genuinely not sure if Matt actually watched Nope. 5 stars. Yeah. The Nope episode. Have you two seen Nope?
I have not seen
Nope. I have seen Nope. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too, but going through it with guests Zoe and Cass, I kept saying stuff like, it was weird they didn't do this. And they're like, they did do that. I'm like, how come all of a sudden all those car shop floaty guys were there? Where'd they come from? They're like, there was a scene where they went and got them. I was in a cinema by myself, nothing to be distracted by. I don't know what happened. I was just like, I had micro sleeps. But anyway, I understand why you are unsure if I actually watch it, but I swear to God I did. But thank you so much for the 5-star review anyway. And thanks so much, Evan and Pete, for joining us in the Monkey House. Pete, where can people find you? I know you've got is it a second issue of your book?
Yes. We've got two books out in Australia. So along with past and future guests, Andy Matthews.
Some sort of scientist.
He is the writer and I am the illustrator of the Gustav and Henry series, which is up to book volume 2 in Australia. It's also out in the United States, so your listeners in the States can get it from Red Comet Press. And it's the book that's out there is Gustav and Henry's Space Cake Time, which you can get from all good bookstores. And if you want to have a look at some of my drawings, you can find me on Instagram at Peter, P-E-A-D-E-R, Thomas. Yeah, that's my handle.
Awesome. And Pete, is it possible that we could get some sort of non-human primate in a future issue of the book?
Oh yeah, because then we could cover it on the show.
Oh, I definitely think we can work it in. Gustav and Henry is about a pig and a dog who are friends.
Not a million miles away then.
No, so it's definitely
very likely. We know Hitmonkey could probably communicate with them.
Yeah. I mean, even without subtitles, I'm sure that they could make themselves understood. So, yeah, I'll have a chat to Andy Matthews about that and we'll see what we can do for you.
That'd be awesome. And Evan, Gamey Game, is it back or is it just about to be back?
It's coming back very soon. We just had a brunch chat, me and Beck and Naomi, to talk about the plans for the upcoming season.
Because you've been doing that Ron Weasley sister show for a while now, and it feels like that's taking up a lot of
Ginny,
your time.
Ginny. Yeah, I've been too busy for Gamey Game again. It's coming back. I think the date is October 21st, so Friday week.
Okay.
That's when we'll be shooting the new episode.
But Evan, the real thing that we want to know.
Yes.
Is what did you have for brunch?
Oh, well, I had eggs.
Thanks, Evan. That's Gamey Game. Coming back soon on
On YouTube.
Hope you enjoyed that short episode of Brunchy Brunchy Brunch. Well, thanks so much for joining us. But, yeah, hopefully we'll be back either next week or some week soon to finish off this great series. Evan, people should track you down. But, Peter, as we always say here at Primates Podcast.
Everybody, get in your cars. It's Hitmonkey time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.